12. Romans chapter 12. Brother Anthony, you don't feel bad when Brother Miles said he probably couldn't afford butter back then, because when we lived in West Virginia, we were so poor that our rainbows were in black and white. That's pretty poor, people. I want to thank you for your prayers this week. I had the privilege, or actually it was an honor and a privilege, to preach my uncle's funeral. That was the first funeral I've ever preached. But you know what made it so good was my uncle knew the Lord and Savior. He was saved. And anytime you can preach a funeral where a person is saved, it's a blessing. Paul says we sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. And I just thank the good Lord for the testimony. I thank the good Lord that He gave me liberty to preach. But I also want to thank the good Lord that He gave me time to glorified and honored our Lord and Savior, but number two, that it encouraged the saints. Number three, if there was somebody there that wasn't saved, I pray that somebody heard the gospel enough to have the Holy Spirit convict them, and that He would show them their need for salvation. What I'm about to read and say today, I don't want anybody to take this personally, okay? But I think it's a message that we all need to hear in our lives every so often. And I'm doing a lot of static cleaning. Let me see if I can get this. Well, it still wants to do it, people, so we're going to try something else. Just bear with me here. Still getting that static in. Is it the mic or? Yeah, it's still doing something other here. Does that sound better? Let's see. How's that? Okay, there we go. But I think this is a message that we as Christians need to hear every once in a while to remind us that there's something more than just coming to church. There's something more than just saying I'm saved. So I want you to look at with me in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is Paul writing to the church at Rome. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that today this message will go forth, Lord, and encourage the saints, Lord. Lord, that it will help us to live more for You, and Lord, for anyone that's lost here today, I pray, God, that You'll just touch their hearts, Lord, and show them their need for You. Lord, I pray, Lord, for our sick and our injured, Lord, that are not here with us. God, we just thank You for, Lord, that great miracle of healing that we've seen in Sam, that he was able to come home from the hospital yesterday. Lord, what an answer to prayers. And Lord, we thank You for the permit for this building. Pray, Lord, as this is undertaken now, that You'll just bless it. Pray for the safety of those involved in this building, this, Lord. And God, I pray that everything will be done decently and in order. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. The title of the message today is The Sin of Being Ordinary. The Sin of Being Ordinary. Keeping up with the Joneses is a popular fancy. Everyone is trying to keep up with everyone else in a materialistic ownership or a materialistic world. A new car, a new truck, a new boat, a new house, and the list can go on and on. People have filed bankruptcy because of such activities. This is not a spirit of challenge, but rather a spirit of jealousy. I'll say that again. This is not a spirit of challenge, but rather a spirit of jealousy. Even our young people use the phrase, everyone else is doing it, why can't I? That's today's peer pressure, our young people. And let me tell you this. Our young people are facing things that even we didn't face back when we were going to school. And they're being taught things and things are being put in their face when we weren't at school. You know, almost everyone is conformed to this world to be educational. Teachers have followed the pattern set down by the socialist. This tends to conform our young to the standard of worldliness. I'll give you an example. My son told me a few weeks ago that in his middle school, gay pride posters was up in his school. We didn't have that when I went to school, people. We didn't have that. Children are going to school, boys dressed as women because they think they were born feminine when they were born males. Other way around, too. Girls are going to school now acting like boys. And I don't know if y'all have been keeping up with news now, but this gender-neutral thing where they're allowing boys dressed up as women to enter girls' sports and these guys are winning, things are starting to be said now. And rightfully so. Amen. Rightfully so. But this shouldn't have been even a discussion. A man is born a man, a woman is born a woman. There's no mixed up, no in between. It's strictly male and female. I heard on the news the other day now where they come out with maybe some kind of, somewhere in the neighborhood of over 100 different neutral, transgender, neutral, and I'm going to tell you this, there's people that have been in trouble because they announced to a female, even though she says she's a male, as a her or she. People are getting in trouble with that. People have been fired about that. There is a problem in this country, people, when everything else is going out. Common sense has been thrown out the window. I'm going to say that point blank. Common sense has been thrown out the window. People calling good evil and evil good. There's a problem. There's a problem. Jesus has been put out of public school system. Evolution is being taught instead of God creating the earth. And you know what else? Teachers and coaches have been fired for praying. Have been ridiculed for saying something about God. They've been ridiculed. I remember the time when before you started class, you said the Pledge of Allegiance and somebody said prayer. Amen. Pledge of Allegiance is not even been done in schools. What's wrong? What's wrong with our country? What's wrong with our country? What about politically? We have seen how liberalism has infiltrated our government from local to federal. People, our government's in a mess. Our government has been going the socialist way for a long time. And I'm going to say this, thank God for Donald Trump. At least he's trying to put this country back on the right path. At least he's trying. Muslims and homosexuals have and are infiltrating our government. That's a sad situation. I heard the other day that next election that over 100 Muslims will be running anywhere from local offices to federal. 9/11, we didn't think that would be possible, did we? 9/11, we didn't think of anything coming that close. People, there's a problem. And I think the problem is we as a nation has turned against God. What about religiously? Oh, I've got some good things to tell. Well, actually, bad things to tell you about religiously. This is going to shock some of y'all. The Council of Churches flourish while the fundamentalist churches struggle. The apostates have taken over in the realm of religion because of lack of personal conviction. Most churches have become social clubs instead of the serious preaching of the Word. I'll give you a couple examples. One is there's a church, I believe in Florida, now that has a bar set up so on Sunday mornings before church you can be served beer before services. Yes, yes. Now, what I'm about to say about this is not a church, people. My dad used to say, just because it has the word church in front of it doesn't make it so. Did everybody hear that? Just because you go by a building and has the word church on it doesn't make it so. A lot of these are turned into social clubs. Here's another one for you. Down in Atlanta, there's a church that has added a psychic to the church staff. to the church staff. Now, that doesn't surprise me considering who the so-called pastor is. The Bishop O.C. Allen III is married to a man. Something's wrong, people. Something's wrong. And I'm going to tell you, God is going to judge this country, because the Bible says the nation that forgets God, and that's how we, as this country has, that nation that forgets God, God will judge. Didn't say I might judge. It might, didn't say, well, let me take a few minutes and think about it. He said, I will judge. Maybe one of the ways we're seeing His judgment, and I'm talking about a little fraction of His ways, is seeing what's going on in our churches. So-called churches. Maybe what we're seeing in our government. You see, God doesn't have to call down fire from heaven to judge His country. He can let things happen, and He say, you know what? Just like He told Israel. He told Israel, you don't need a king, you don't need a king. And Israel kept saying, well, we want a king, we want a king. Okay, you want a king? Here, here's your king. God was Israel's king, but they don't want to have that. They want a personal person king, a king that's in the flesh, a king that they could see. God said, okay, you want it? Here it is. Here's your king. Let's see what He can do for you. There's a problem in the country. And people, we haven't seen the end of it yet. The Bible says that in the end times, men shall wax worse and worse and shall call good evil and evil good. But I want to tell you this. What about us being ordinary Christians? Sin of being ordinary. You think if we were on fire for God back in, like they were in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, where the Christians stood up and said, this is wrong. No, you're not opening a bar in our town. No, we're not going to allow this in our town. No, it's not going to happen. And do what the homosexuals are doing out and march in the streets and hold signs saying, we're a Christian town. We don't want this. The sin of being ordinary. Listen to this. Dr. J.H. Melton said, one who is ordinary is just as near the bottom as he is the top. I'm going to say that again. One who is ordinary is just as near the bottom as he is the top. Turn over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22. And then we're going to be looking at some different verses today. But Ezekiel 22, verses 23 through 31. Ezekiel 22, verses 23 through 31. Listen to this. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. And I'm sorry, my tongue is not working today. There is a conspiracy of her prophets, listen to this, in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Now, look at verse 26. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Sounds like what I just told y'all, isn't it? I'll say it again, or I'll read it again. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. I am profane among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy the souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dabbed themselves with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. People, we need to be aware of that. There's a lot of that that's going on too. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed a stranger wrongfully. And I have sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." That's a sad commentary, isn't it? I look for a man to stand in the gap for me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. "Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." Sin of being ordinary. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And I know Anthony's probably have talked about this. And this sounds like a lot of today's churches too. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I'm sorry, neither cold nor hot. I thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I drink a cup of coffee in the wintertime, I want it to be hot. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be cold. And when it's summertime and I want a glass of water, I want to be ice cold water. I don't want none of this lukewarm stuff. But I heard a preacher say about this one time, you know what this is? He told me, he said, that makes God want to go to the edge of heaven and stick his finger down the throat and puke. Lukewarm churches, he's sick of it. He's sick of it. He wants us to be conformed to Him. Listen to this. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, if we're ordinary, are we being conformed to the image of His Son? Or are we just being ordinary? If we're going to be conformed to the image of His Son, does that mean we could just sit back and just say, "Well, I'm saved and that's it. I don't need to do anything"? No. When I read the Bible, I just don't see Jesus sitting there not doing anything. He's usually going about preaching or healing or teaching or healing the sick, raising up the dead. He was an active Jesus. Our Jesus was active. He wasn't lazy. Okay? He was not lazy. He was active. And if He was active, guess what? He wants us to be active. Amen? I want us to see three things about the sin of being ordinary. First of all, conformity infiltrates. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. You can see some illustrations of this in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, when Lot, when he saw that, "Man, that's a nice looking city over there. I think I'll go over that way. And Abraham, you can have the rest of this, but I'm going to go to the big city. I like that big city life." And he goes over there to that wicked city. And it is wicked. And he knows it. He knows it when he gets there. And the angels come to him to get him out of there. This place was so wicked that the homosexuals were standing out the door when the angels came in and was telling Lot, "Hey, we want to get to know these men. Not know intellectually, like, Pastor, nice to meet you and all that, and carry on this conversation." Not that type of knowing. This was a homosexual act they were talking about. And talking about angels of God. And they had, actually, the angels smote them. Now, not only did they get Lot and his family out, but they told him not to look back. You know what's wrong is us Christians, sometimes we have a tendency to look back, don't we? And go back to the same deal that we did before we were saved. Well, when the angel taken Lot and his wife, told him not to look back, she couldn't help herself, could she? Lot's wife couldn't help herself. She had to turn around and look. And she came a pillar of salt. She didn't listen. She disobeyed. What about Samson? Samson was a strong, strong man. And you could read about him in the Old Testament, about things he had done. And I tell you, God was with him. But what did Samson do? Got hooked up with the wrong woman. And what did that woman do for him? She betrayed him, didn't she? Samson, just tell me how you get your strength. Asked him that about three times. So finally she said, "Oh, come on, honey, sweetheart. Just show me where you get your strength. I'm not going to tell anybody. It's just us now. Remember, we're supposed to be talking to each other and being honest with each other. Come on, just tell me where your strength is." And he told her about his hair. Well, when they found out that he needed a good haircut, he didn't go to the barber. The barber came to him. Cut his hair. Then she said, "Hey, they're here after you." And before when she said that, he whipped them. But not this time. Not this time. They ganged up on him and bound him. They plucked out his eyes. What about David? The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart, but what did David do? Sin of being ordinary. David's down there. He's probably looking around, maybe a little bored. Let me tell you something, people. Boredness will get you in trouble if you're not careful. He's probably looking around. He's thinking, "Man, I live in a great place. This is a beautiful day." And he's probably looking down there, and all of a sudden, something catches his eye. Song. See, Purdy. "Hey, why don't you go down there and fetch her for me? She's a beautiful woman." And what happened? Committed murder because he had her husband killed. Committed adultery. Fell out of fellowship with God. Till Nathan the prophet came and said, "David, thou art the man. Evil communications corrupt good manners." But if you read, I believe it's Psalm 51, when Nathan told him, "David, thou art the man." He didn't say, "Restore to me thy salvation." He lost his joy, though. You get in the things of the world, you're a child of God, you're going to lose your joy. If you're saved, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you'll lose your joy. And I'm going to tell you this right now. It's nothing worse. Nothing worse than being a Christian and know you're out of fellowship with God. And you'll know it. You'll know it. Conformity infiltrates. Does our desires. Micah 7:3. You don't have to turn over there with me, but Micah 7:3. Says this, Micah 7:3, "That they may do evil with both hands earnestly, the prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man he uttereth his mischievous desire." So they wrap it up. It infiltrates our desires. You see, sin of being ordinary, man starts desiring the things of the world instead of desiring the things of God. Conformity infiltrates our duty. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." conformity to this world infiltrates our desires, our duty, and our dealings. Hosea 5:7, again, you don't have to turn with me, but I just want to read this to you. Hosea 5:7. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. Infiltrates our dealings. 2014, status was taken of the percentage of people who were born out of wedlock, and it was turned out to be 40%. It's probably higher today. 40% of children were born out of wedlock in the USA. Homosexuality is now tolerated in lots of churches. The abortionist crowd has more love, listen to this, for animals than for little babies. That is wrong, people. That is wrong. I'm not for abusement of animals or animal abuse. I'm not for that. But when you have the same crowd that's hollering, that was an animal, hunters shouldn't kill a deer and all that, but turn around and say, well, it's my right to choose. I'm going to have an abortion if I want to. There's a problem. Like I said earlier, common sense has been thrown out the window. Conformity infiltrates. What about conformity contaminates? Remember the saying, one rotten apple will spoil the whole barrel. Or the other saying, if you lay down with the dog, you'll wake up with fleas. Or my dad used to say this about people going to bars to meet people. He said, you go to a trash dump, you're going to get trash. Never, listen to this, never conform to the world to try to win the world to Christ. Because if you do, the world will win you. You understand that? I've heard some people say, well, I'm going to go to such and such a bar and have a drink with this person because I'm going to witness this person. And that's about the only time I can catch him is at a bar. So I'm going to go there and have a drink with him and witness to him. How do you think that's going to go? Huh? First of all, it's going to be more than a drink. It's going to go two drinks. It's going to go three drinks. It's going to go four drinks. Next thing you're seeing and thinking is all these other people coming in. Well, look, she looks kind of nice. Next thing you're cussing and all that. Oh, man, I had a good time with you. Let's meet up here again next Thursday. Contamination. You know why they talking about gold? You know the reason they burn through it to get all that contaminants out. You want pure gold? They have to get those contaminations out of that gold. You know, same thing with a Christian. God puts us through things to get that worldly mess out of us. Now, does that mean we're going to be perfect here on this earth? No. No. I'm not speaking about God's people being perfect. But as the preacher says, doesn't make us sinless, but ought to make us want to sin less. Right? Conformity contaminates. 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You know, the reason that God told the children of Israel not to go and take strange women was the fact He knew what they were going to do. And you can read it. They go after these strange women. They didn't have the women come in and serve their God. Usually it was the other way around. Usually it was the Israelites marrying them and then going to serve their pagan gods. Conformity contaminates. Same thing as us. What do you have in your life that contaminates? Is it television? Is it radio? Is it things on the mind that you dwell about that's not God? I'm talking about conformity contaminates. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 14 through 18. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. This is a warning. And I want y'all to know that God never gave suggestions in His Word. He'd always demanded you either did this or you don't do this. He never made a suggestion. Because if he left us with suggestions, then we'd go and do what we wanted to and say, God, well, I just took this as a suggestion. Verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial or Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Listen to this, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He said, come out from among them. Didn't say, well, you could go see them on Thursdays and Saturdays, and if you have time, maybe Mondays and Tuesdays. He made it explicitly clear, come out from among them. Stay away. Now, does that mean that we can't witness to them? And there's two ways we can witness people. We can either do it by word of mouth or by a lifestyle. In fact, our lifestyle will probably go a lot more than our words. You know, you've heard that saying, a picture paints a thousand words. Our lifestyle will paint a thousand words. Conformity contaminates. What do you think if Lot had got with Abraham, and Abraham says, you know what, Lot, I'm just going to go. I'm not going to go through the cities. And Lot said, you know what, I think I'll stay with you. I think you can go over here to this part, I'm going to go over here to this part, but I'm going to stay away from the city too. What about Samson? What about if Samson had said, you know what, I'm not getting mixed up with no crazy woman, this evil woman over here. I'm going to do what the good Lord says, because the Lord has set me here for a purpose. So I'm just going to obey God and listen to Him. Things would have turned out different with Him. What about David? You know, after he sinned, he lost his child. Yeah, his child died. And then the family, boy, did they have some family quarrels. Big time family quarrels. David had stayed true to God, and instead of going after Bathsheba, things probably turned out a lot different for him, right? I'm going to tell you, God loves us. And He tells us thing in His Word, one reason and one reason only. Listen to this. He loves us, and He wants us to stay out of trouble. You see, God's going to judge sin. I'm talking about sin of being ordinary, too. God's going to judge it. God's going to judge it. Because God has gave us the means, the Word, to go out and be more than just ordinary. He gave us two legs and feet. What do you think that means? To go. He gave us two ears. What do you think He gave us 2 ears for? To listen to His Word. Gave us 2 eyes. What do you think He gave us 2 eyes for? To read His Word. Gave us a mouth. What do you think He gave us a mouth for? To proclaim His Word. He doesn't want us to be conformed to this world. To be conformed to the image of His Son. Third thing I want us to see, conformity cultivates. One of the definitions for cultivate is to cherish, to foster, to labor, to promote, and increase. You start dwelling on something that's wrong. You start thinking, it starts with a thought. Then you start dwelling on it. When you start dwelling on it, usually it will go further than that, then you act on it. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. This is very important. If you don't get anything out of this today, I want you to see these two verses. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says, "But every man is tempted, and when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Did y'all see that? You see how just an idea cultivates? You see how just one idea can get that brain rolling and rolling and rolling to finally where the sin looks good to do? Do you know, if you never take a drink, you don't have to worry about becoming an alcoholic?
Right.
Did you know that if you abstain from pornography, that you'll love your wife and you'll always be true with her? Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of these sins that's happening as far as cheating and all that probably has to start with pornography or some kind of wicked thought about another woman. And that's the same thing as pornography. In my mind, it is. Not that I'm sure in God's mind, that's the same thing. Because you're undressing her with your mind. What about doing drugs? Oh, that's just one little shot of cocaine. That's not going to hurt me. Just one shot. Have y'all heard now they got this drug? And I was just reading about it the other day, and they started in Russia, and this thing is creeping here in the United States, where they're taking heroin and gasoline and mixing it and shooting it up, and now it's causing their flesh to be rotted off. I've seen pictures of it. I forgot the name of the drug, but this is a new type of drug that's coming in where they're mixing heroin and gasoline, and they're shooting it up. And wherever they shoot it up, their flesh starts rotting and starts falling off. It's a bacteria-eating, flesh-eating bacteria that's getting to them. What kind of crazy ideas with drugs are we going to see, people? I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. That is, I mean, it's crazy to see. And you know what gets me is the fact that these people have heard over and over and over and over, stay away from drugs. But it's like they're intentionally going and try to get and do something new now to get that intended high. I can't comprehend it, people. I cannot comprehend that taking this and that, you have lost that desire because it's no longer affecting you. Now you have to go and mix it with gasoline and shoot gasoline yourself. I think the weirdest thing I've seen was in Montana where the Indians up there, when I lived up there, would take spray paint and spray it into a bag and then huff it. And you would see Indians going down the street, literally, with their face. You could see the paint on their face because of them doing something like that. With Blackfeet Indian. And there was nothing to be going down Great Falls, Montana, and you'd see them be walking along the road with paint off their face. And I had to ask somebody, what in the world is going on? Oh, man, they're taking spray paint and spraying these paper bags and huffing it. That's how they're getting eyes. How does conformity cultivate? Number one, it's a lack of study. Ignorance is our greatest enemy because we're always willing to accept the other person's way. If you don't know this book, people, you'll fall for about anything that anybody tells you. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth." The lack of study. Also have the lack of separation. The best way to cause your testimony to be ineffective is to live like the world. You know that? You know, you can put a white car in a black car side by side, and you can say, "Look, this car is white. This car is black." But there's kind of different shades of black, isn't there? You pull one shade of black next to another shade of black. Hey, they're black cars. You put a worldly Christian next to a unsaved person, put them both together, and you see them drinking at a bar, you going to think that person's a Christian? No. I wouldn't think that person's a Christian. If that person says, "Yeah, I'm a Christian, brother, praise God, but me and so-and-so, we're going to go have a beer and shoot some drugs." You know that whole saying, if it swims like a duck, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Lack of study, a lack of separation. What about a lack of service? Becoming involved with the things of this world while moving further away from doing service for my Heavenly Father. You're either going to be one or two things, people. You're either going to be serving God or you're going to be serving the world. You're either going to be serving God or you're going to be serving this world. There's no middle ground. Listen to me, there's no middle ground. You're going to fall for either one. You're going to say, "God, I'm going to serve you. I need your help." And you're going to do it. Because God's going to help you. If you're after God's heart, if you're after, "Lord, I want to serve you," and all that, He's going to provide the means and way to serve Him. But if you want to go after the things of the world and say, "God, I want to go do this because I want to enjoy it," and you keep right on, you go out there and do the things, after a while, God's going to be very tired of it. And I'll tell you what, people. I've seen God take people's lives in an instant because He's fed up with what they're doing. He has. When you get out there and start doing things that are wrong, and, "Oh man, this feels good," but there's always something in your mind up here saying, "You better stay away from it. You better stay away from it. You better ask for forgiveness. You better repent." Repent don't mean, "Lord, I'm sorry," and go back and do it tomorrow. "Lord, I'm sorry," and go back and do it the next day. "Lord, I'm sorry," going back the next day. That repent means turning a 180. You turn opposite from what you were doing. Talking about a lack of service. You're either going to do one or two things, people. Like I said, you're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the world. So, what do we need to be transformed? What will happen if we're transformed by the power of God in Christ? First of all, our desires will be changed. They'll be directly focused on things above. The Bible says, be focused. Dwell on things above and not on things here below. Our desires will be changed. Number two, our duty will become a delight and not a burden. Number three, our dealings will demonstrate the love of God. So the question I present is, do you consider yourself ordinary? If so, do you want to stay ordinary? Or do you want to be used by God for His service? You might have the question, what can we do to ensure we're not just ordinary? That's things you can do. Number one, you can read the Bible daily. Study the Word. You could go to church regularly. You can witness, worship. You can help out during church. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can be a nursery worker. You can be an usher. You can be a bus worker. You can go on visitation. And visitation, you don't have to go just... If you can't make it on Thursdays, what about going to the hospitals and nursing homes and the shut-ins and visit them? You don't have to go on visitation just on Thursday afternoon. Look, there's people that live Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? Until God takes them home. Just pick a day that you think you could do and do it. Like I said, it don't have to be just on Thursdays. What about helping and serving Sunday breakfast? What about being a volunteer at Blossoms? What about helping and cleaning the church? There's so many things, people. A prayer warrior. What if you're not able to go to church? I've heard, you know, elderly people say, well, I can't make it, but I'm praying for you. We're praying. Amen. That's service. Amen. That's service, people. And God understands that. God knows that. Right. And I tell you what, He's more pleased that somebody is a prayer warrior at home than it is some half-hearted Christian that only thing they'll do is, well, if I feel like it, I'll go to church. Or, if I feel like it, I might do this. But I don't feel like doing this, God. God has more respect for an elderly person or a person who can't get out of their house to just pray than a half-hearted Christian. What about just calling somebody to check, see if they're doing okay? You know, when Sam had his unfortunate accident, Daryl and myself went up to see him Wednesday. Now, we didn't get to spend, actually, we didn't get to see Sam. But we saw his mother, and we talked for her a little bit, and we had prayer. People, just going up there for that one and a half minutes. Just let somebody know you care. That goes a long ways. That goes a long ways. I want to close with this statement, these two statements. Be a pew worker and not a pew warmer. Be a pew worker and not a pew warmer. What do you mean by that? Come and sit in these pews and listen to the gospel, but just don't do that. Get involved. You're going to be involved in something anyways. Why not get involved in the Lord's work? This last statement. Listen to this. You become a pew worker. This will ensure Christian maturity and ward off worldly matters. This will ensure Christian maturity and ward off worldly matters. So I'm going to ask y'all, are you ordinary? You don't have to stay that way. God has used many of people for the gospel. I mean, you look at His disciples, they were just ordinary fishermen. Some of them were just ordinary fishermen. And He comes along and sees them out there. They either come in or they're fixing to go. He says, come with me and I'll make you fishers of men. And you can read about them in the New Testament. How God used them. You know why God used them? Because they followed Him. You follow the things of this world, you can mind the things of this world. You follow God, you can mind the things of God. That's just the only two ways there is. That's the only two things that we'll do. There's no middle ground. So where do you consider yourself to be at? And what do you want to do? I hope this will be a help to you. I hope that you'll look deep inside of yourself and say, Lord, what can I do to be of service to You? I'm tired of being ordinary. Ordinary is not going to cut it. Bow your heads and close your eyes, please.